It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
The rich do not come off well in the letter that James wrote, and that should be a wake-up call for us. In general, our Western cultures yearn for riches and idolize the rich. So I suspect each of us is more sold out to wealth, finances, and possessions than we at first think. At the rich end of the consumption spectrum worldwide, 20% of the world's population uses 76.6, more than three-quarters of the world's goods and services. At the poor end, the 20% use 1.5%. Most probably you and I are part of the wealthiest 20% in the world. That means on average you or I consume 50 times more goods and services than a person in the poor 20%. In other words, what some people consume over 2 months is used up by us in 1 day. As members of the richest 20%, what power does our prosperity have over us, shaping and controlling our attitudes and behaviors? How does our affluence influence our view and treatment toward others? In many countries, people live on a 24-hour cycle. Living on a 24-hour cycle means basic survival. Success is measured by getting through one more day with one meal for each member of the family without sickness or some other catastrophe. That's poverty. Now imagine these people engaging in back-breaking labor from dawn to dusk for rich landowners, and then not getting paid. This is the picture of oppression painted by James. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And where is God in all of this? Where is God's justice in the face of such unbridled greed and oppression? James warns the rich. With frightening tones of outright hostility, James calls out in chapter 5, verse 1, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." In case you question my phrase, frightening tones of outright hostility, Earl Palmer writes, quote, "James gives frightening words of alarm and warning for any person who is tempted toward the corrupt use of the power that goes with financial wealth," end quote. Add to this Luke Johnson's words, quote, "The tone of straightforward hostility is remarkable," end quote. There is a deep condemnation of those who use their financial power to oppress the poor. Now, imagine a courtroom scene. The rich are on trial. Evidence of their guilt is obtained from their own treasuries, investments, and bank accounts. Again, we hear James summarizing the evidence against them. Chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. "Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter." These rich people have amassed great riches, while others were living in abject poverty. Wages were unpaid, resulting in oppression and grinding poverty. These rich people lived in luxury while others starved. Their stockpiled treasuries eventually would rot and corrode, doing no one any good. In other words, being good for nothing. What is in store for these rich people? At their trial, their hoarded wealth eats their flesh like fire, and the unpaid wages cry out against them. Verses 3 and 4. Where do you stand? In our Western countries, this oppressive mentality does exist. Wealth has a way of convincing the wealthy they aren't entitled to do whatever they want. It is expressed in a golden rule. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. For instance, a land developer contracts trades. The trade people complete the work, providing their labor and the materials. Because of his financial power, the land developer doesn't pay the trades on time. He then squeezes them until they are forced to accept less than the contracted amount. If the trade person doesn't accept, they are faced with bankruptcy. These practices can exist where we live today. These rich people use their financial power to oppress and destroy. James concludes, "You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He or she does not resist you." What is the judge's verdict? Guilty as charged. The rich people condemned by James are likely not Christians, but a follower of Jesus is not immune to the influences of wealth. But what of the poor, the oppressed, and what are they to do to move toward wholeness in this situation? In this context, the oppressed are referred to as righteous, leading to the conclusion that James is speaking specifically of the poor who are followers of Jesus. In the next segment, we will move into the plight of these oppressed people. How are they to live and act in the face of such oppression? But before we move on, here are some reflective questions to explore how you and I hold and use our wealth, finances, and possessions. First, wealth, finances, and possessions are not neutral. They have inherent power to shape and control us. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." What is Jesus saying about money or mammon? How does money or the pursuit of money control your life? How has it shaped your attitude toward others? Second, imagine being on trial for how you have held and used your wealth, finances, and possessions, even in the last year or even the last month. What would the verdict be? In light of that verdict, what changes do you need to make in your life? And third, how do Paul's words speak to you in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19? There we read, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Based upon our opening statistic, we are all considered rich. How is the Lord calling you to hold and use your wealth, finances, and possessions? How difficult is it for you to be generous and ready to share? And why? How do you determine with whom to be generous? And why?
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.